Amen. Well, good evening to each one. In my mind, I was thinking maybe you all would just leave before the service tonight. And I'm teasing that way. I do want to remind you, and it's easy for us to forget, the way God made us, we pick up more from observing than we do from what's said. And I'd just like for you to think of that tonight as you're here and as you're at these meetings, and maybe you're not the one behind the pulpit here tonight, but each one of you contributes more than you realize. And I was thinking tonight of the much that I owe to many of you here who could number the many things that have affected my life that have been found in your lives. I don't think anyone would be able to number those tonight, so I just bless you for that. We've been richly ministered to today by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd just like to take a few words out of the Song of Solomon's. Says there, he is altogether lovely. He's the chiefest among 10,000. His head as is the most fine gold. His cheeks are as beds of as a bed of spices and as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet and smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings, set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars made of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance as Lebanon, excellent as cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. I know that the Song of Solomon's can be taken that it's not Jesus Christ that it's referring to here, but tonight it is my heart to use these scriptures and think of what He's done in my life. Jesus is most desirable in Himself, and all things that are desirable are in Him. Think of that. Beauty is in Christ Jesus. Bounty, increase, is in Christ Jesus. Riches and honor are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is that great treasure, the greatest treasure in the universe. He's hidden in the gospel, and it takes a seeking heart to find Him. He's the pearl of great price, whom to know is everlasting life. He is a spring full of water of life, a hive of sweetness, and a storehouse of riches. A river of pleasures, and in Him we have life, life abundantly. I can't help but take my mind back to when my son was born tonight. It's when the first time I realized what I meant to my parents, and tonight it broke my heart as I started getting messages of support from them that they were praying. And there was more that I was thinking of saying there, but I think we'll go on with that. So tonight there's a brother here that wasn't given very much in life. I'm not sure if we could say he was given a talent. I'm sure he was. We probably all were given a talent. But one thing that I've marveled at is what he's done with what he's given, what he was given. I'd like to ask my dad to come up and pray for me. I'm not sure if you will do that, Dad. I did want to share that when I was a young boy growing up, my dad had an engine shop, and he had a special time every year that he had a bunch of people together, and he'd have wood carvers come, and he would give away food. And as a young boy going to school, it bothered me that some of the children, the one family especially, would come to those events, and they would take of the food, but they wouldn't really patronize the business. So as a young boy, I took it on myself to say something to one of the boys. And my dad found out about that, and the next Sunday, we made a special trip to that family. And I had specific instruction that we were not leaving there. Till I completely apologized to the family. And there was another time we were putting on a roof, and my dad all of a sudden stopped working. He just stopped. And I kept on putting shingles on. And he just stopped. And then I said, "What's wrong?" And he didn't say anything. And I kept putting on shingles. And I asked him again, I said, "Dad, what's wrong?" He said, "Aiden, I never dreamt I'd have a son that would talk that way." I remember talking together about the church. And as a young man, shortly after we were baptized, we were to have communion in our church, and there was trouble. And we couldn't have communion that day when we got home. I made a comment to Dad. I said, "I'm not going to be part of a church like that. There's always trouble." And I don't remember how Dad did it, but he got a hold of my attention. He said, "You don't talk that way. You are going to be part of this church." And I don't know what all he said. And I just praise God for all these things that I'm sharing with you, because had I left at that point, I wouldn't be here today. And so thank you, Dad.
Break my heart. There's this saying, a man after God's own heart. And that's every one of you here tonight. If you wouldn't be after God's heart, you wouldn't be here. I bless you for that. But when you look around and you look at men that have been blessed, you'll never find one that's been blessed more than I have. There's just no way. I'm very thankful for it. And I'm thankful to know the people that God has brought into my life and shared their lives with me. Thank you so much, brothers. Thank you. We had a virus come through, and it changed a lot of things. It just changed a lot of things. But one thing it didn't change, that was the Word of God. And one thing it didn't change was His promises. They are still true. We can still be sons and daughters of the living God and walk with Him. The sun on one side, you in the middle, and God on the other side. Just as near as we let Him come. Praise God. Thank you so much. I don't know what all Aiden remembers, I know he remembers them better than I do, but I always wanted a family that was not divided. I didn't want one child here and one there. I didn't want a divided family. But at one time it was. But God had brought us all back together again. Thank you. Thank you for listening to me. May the Lord bless you.
Well, you all want to stand, would you? It'd be a blessing.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be able to take this opportunity tonight and call upon your precious, holy, and wonderful name. Oh God, that you would give us wisdom from up on high, that you would guide and direct our thoughts and our words and our tongue, that we could praise you all this night long. Heavenly Father, please bless my son Aiden here as he witnesses to these men. Oh God, if we don't hear from you, it'll be in vain, Lord. Please, please, Lord, be merciful to us like you have. Thank you, Father, for our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And guide and direct us, our thoughts and our lives from this day on. Please give us power, wisdom, and strength from above, that we can worship you and honor you and praise you. And please bless Aiden tonight, that you would put words in his mouth and that you'd put thoughts in his mind, and that the words that would proceed from his lips would honor you, Heavenly Father, and Almighty Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. We just pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dad. Maybe seated. I would like to give you something tonight before we begin, too, that has been a blessing to me. And it's just this thought. So if you can just bear with me a little. If each one of you tonight was to find out tonight that it is a fact that when your life is over, God is going to send you to hell, how would you live tomorrow? I trust we would still serve God with all our heart, because He is worthy of that. He is completely worthy of us serving Him with all of our heart, no matter what He does with us at the end of our life. Truth of the matter is, we serve a God that I don't believe will do that. Tonight, the title of this message, Laying a Sure Foundation, may have not been the best title, so I'd like to give just a few words to share my heart. And it's not really the complete foundation that everyone's going to need to live their Christian life, but I'm going to be specifically referring to the new birth and some of what happens as God is working in the hearts and lives of people and as He's calling them to Himself, and some of the process, some things that I have had a burden for probably the last 8 years or more, as I've watched people in their Christian life, and I've watched them stumble, and I've watched them fall, and I just kept, well, what's wrong? And I kept seeking God in His own way, and as God gave me truth, I started practicing it in some of the people that I was able to help lead to the Lord, and the way that God has blessed that has made me want to share some of this to you all, and I trust it can be a blessing to you too. I do want to say that there's probably various ways that you all lead people to the Lord, and I'm just sharing my heart. I have a lot to learn, and if some of you have things that you've found and experienced, please share them with me. I don't feel like this is all inclusive. And I'm just going to share what light I have now. I think there's more light that God has in that way. I think there's higher ground for us. But as I've said, it was a burden to me. As I watched souls, and I'm sure some of you have, and I know the gospel, and we know the power of the gospel. And so I had to wonder, you know, Why so many half hearts? Do half hearts bother anybody? I think that I don't want to judge anyone, and maybe I'm more half-hearted myself than I wish. I'm sure I am, but all of these things, all of the falling away, and all of these things were a burden to me. And then also the percentage of souls that never go on to maturity. They're never able to contribute. They're never able to really serve in God's kingdom. You know, and should it really take someone 5 years to quit smoking, to quit drinking, to quit using foul language? Should it really take someone even a year, 6 months? Some of those things were some of my burdens. Young Christians define victory. Not wanting to be under authority. Loving the world and its fads and pleasures. And so tonight we want to give just a short, simple word. And I probably won't keep you long. By God's grace, some of the things that I've been blessed by, I feel like we've been blessed by as a church. And I also do want to say, Brother Allen, Brother Mose, and Brother Chris, and Jonathan, all of you brothers from the church, you know the investment you made in my life. I had wanted to say that earlier. And you know how much I need you all. But let us start with the scripture here. If you'll have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19. It says, laying up in store. Now, when you're laying up in store, the Bible doesn't really let us do that too often, does it? Brother Gary, laying up in store. How many times does the Bible really want us to lay out ahead? Not too often does it. But the principle in this word, the one thing it's teaching here is the Bible is allowing us to put away for future. It's allowing us to lay up, to store for the future. It says laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. This scripture, I don't really get the message from this scripture that after you've been born again, you're done. I don't get the message that the new birth is your ticket. I don't get the message here that there's grace for you to just kind of do whatever you want. Maybe more on that a little later, but literally, it's telling us to put away here. And just this week, I've been trying to teach some of my younger children. We talk about little things, where the coverings wore, how some of these practical things, and I've just been trying to teach them, you know, they seem like little things. But when we have those little things right, time is moving. And when those little things aren't right, it seems like it moves and soon it's way bigger. And it keeps doing that. And pretty soon, you find yourself in a predicament. You find yourself where you're not going to change it anymore. We end up there quicker than we think. We really do, brothers. Let's just take for an example. Yeah, there's many things, even technology. If you want a fast-moving ride, just step on technology. And if we don't have that one right, you're soon going to find yourself out where you're never going to get it right. And well, that's one of the things I get from this laying in store here, and I'm talking about a good foundation. Don't be too bashful, brothers and sisters, to take your young people and love them and all these things, but instructing them as love as well. And let's talk about the things that a lot of people don't think matter. But you'll find it clears confusion. It's part of discipleship. And it's laying up in store for themselves a good foundation, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I don't think it's everything. I don't think every Christian that's struggling is struggling because they didn't have a right foundation laid at their new birth. I'm not saying that. But I do wonder, when I look at Christianity as a whole, I do wonder what percent, where would this brother be if he would have had his foundation? Is it wrong to consider that question tonight? Where would this brother be in his walk if he'd have had a better foundation? I don't think it's wrong to consider that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, is Jesus Christ." And Brother Malvin this morning talked about that foundation. And he talked about the importance of how we build on that foundation. And my experience is that if that foundation is right, it's easier to get people to build right when the foundation's right. When the foundation's not quite right, everything you put on top of it's not going to be right. And so, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now, to start here, I'd like to just share a short story that happened some years ago, if you'll allow me to. I do enjoy stories, and I read a lot of stories to my family. And I like stories that have a spiritual application. And there was also, to go along with, maybe we'll get to that later, a poor peasant farmer lived in the back country with his wife and children. They were a poor family with little income. They toiled long days, tilling the ground by hand. They were dependent on each incoming crop for their well-being and safekeeping. A crop failure put them at risk of starvation. You know, I'm not sure how you're all feeling. Why don't we stand? Can we stand for the rest of this little account here? That'd be a blessing. I know that it's been a long day. And this farmer had a young son that worked by his side. They labored through the long, hot, dry, and dusty days together. They received word one day of gospel preaching meetings that would be held in a distant community. The upcoming meetings were a challenge to the father, as his heart was to attend. But realizing full well that a couple weeks' absence from the farm could mean a year of suffering and hunger, the father's thoughts were a bit heavy as he sought to make the best decision for his family. It seemed almost impossible to leave all the work behind. But as the week of the meetings approached, the father chose to pack up the family and travel the several days' journey to the place where the meetings were held. To the joy of the father, it was at these meetings that his son came under conviction and through repentance and faith experienced salvation and the saving power of God. Truly God was good, as a time of refreshing and renewal was experienced by the family. It was with joy and peace that the family made their way back home after the meetings. Within a month, the young son's physical body was overcome with sudden severe illness. He continued to get weaker and weaker, and soon he was bedfast. Sensing that possibly his end was near, he called for his father. Then in his father's presence, he said, what do you think he said? He said, "Father, thank you for taking me to those meetings. I know it was hard for you to take the time away. But the time at the meetings helped prepare me to be ready to die. Thank you, Father, for helping me prepare for eternity." A few days later, the son passed from this life into eternity. Brothers, is there a higher calling than helping souls prepare for eternity? Would God remind us tonight? There is no higher calling, brothers. You may be seated. We're reminded tonight of the miracle. Every child that is born still has an eternal soul. We don't know how God does that, but somehow God is still giving souls to people. And so it's not a light subject tonight as we think of our calling and us possibly giving account and our responsibility in this matter of helping our people into the new birth, into a sure foundation. And my prayer tonight is that you all would receive many thank yous. If not in this life, when you stand before God, that you would receive many thank yous as this young son did his father for helping someone prepare for eternity. I trust that will be. They will receive many thank yous. So let us just consider some of our responsibility tonight to the souls in our care. I had to think, as I was preparing, I had to think of us at the day of judgment. We're all standing there, and here comes our brother. And it's his turn to stand before God. What will God say to it? How will we feel when there's judgment? Think of the soberness and the seriousness of that. Think of, what if one of our brothers would hear these words? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Brothers, we don't know. We have our faith in the Lord. But I grew up hearing this said. Es ist nicht Kinderspiel, wer selig in dem Herrn sterben will. It is not child's play, whoever wants to die saved in the Lord. It's not child's play. This was Paul's heart, and we've heard it. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily, to present every man perfect in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers, this is impossible in our own strength. But let us continue to move here. This takes us to the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 3, we know these words very well. He says, John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly. Or he's basically saying, stop and pay attention. These are not just ordinary things I'm going to say. In fact, he puts, of all his words, he puts emphasis on these. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so many times we take these words and we think of, well, they're not going to go to heaven. But I had to think as I was preparing, I had to think about the kingdom now. Even the kingdom here on earth. Look at what all is missed and not seeing the kingdom now. There's many blessings missed then. And I think it can be both. I think it's saying that we won't be in the kingdom in eternity. But there's a lot we're missing out on now when we don't see the kingdom of God. But these words, there's no other way, brothers, to be into God's kingdom. I tried everything that I knew to try. I got a bigger hat. I put this away. And Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace and forgiveness. It doesn't say forgiveness, but of debt. There is nothing, brothers, that we can do to enter that kingdom. We must be born into it. And there's a lot of confusion about the new birth, and maybe we'll talk about some of that later. But the new birth, it's the picture in the Greek to be become of the Father, to be begotten by God the Father. It's a heaven, it's born from above. It's I don't think we can say Abba Father until we're born again. It is to be begotten of the Father. And I had to think of all the begats in the Bible. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot his 12 sons, Reuben and on. But those begottens all pill in comparison to be begotten of the Father. To be begotten of God. It's an amazing miracle, brothers. May we not lose a wonder. Now, when it comes to the new birth here, my heart is to leave it as Scripture does. To not pull it out of context. You know, I grew up meeting people and talking to them about the new birth, and they said, it's something you grow into. Or it's something, some people would teach that they would teach baptismal regeneration. And I'm not here to judge anyone, but I do think it's important that we understand the new birth, and it's a work of God. And it's not something you grow into, and it's not something that you can do enough good to sometime find yourself in God's kingdom. So my heart is to... Then we have the other ditch that focuses on the new birth, and they pull it so far out of context that they never go on. It's like the new birth is the door into God's kingdom, and they sit down in the doorway, and they never go any further, and pretty soon they fall right back out. It's like this little boy, I think I'll share this story a little later, this little boy that kept falling out of bed. And his dad asked him, he said, what's wrong? He said, well, Dad, I guess I just don't get in far enough, so I just fall out. And that I think that principle applies to God's kingdom here. If we get in far enough, we're not going to fall off so quickly. But the new birth is the beginning. But the new birth is not... let me just say this yet as it comes to my mind. You study every judgment scene in the New Testament. Never does Christ say... In Matthew 25, He doesn't say, we're going to judge you to see if you were born again or not. Every judgment scene in the New Testament tells us that we're going to be judged by our lives, by how we lived, by the deeds we did. And so, my plea is we're not going to spend a lot more time on this. I don't want to be misunderstood. It's paramount. The new birth is paramount that we keep it as the Bible does. It's a must. Jesus says it. But it's after we experience that, we want the foundation of love to serve God. We do what we do because we love God. We don't do what we do to get right with God. But after He's given everything He has for us, how can we not give all? Anything less is... So let's just read these scriptures here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it will always be flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So as we think of the souls that we're responsible for, as we think of eternity, as we think of them all, as time is but a vapor and a short time standing before God, I just plead that we would give this some consideration tonight. I don't believe it's true that the new birth is all we need to make it to heaven. The fact is, there's no promise or there's no scripture anywhere that says, if you are born again, you're going to heaven. Now, it's the beginning. We don't want to minimize it. But there's been overemphasis put on the new birth. and it hasn't done our people any good. It hasn't done our people any good. Jesus says, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." And in Revelations, the promise is given to the overcomer. It's not given to him that's born again. It's given to him that overcomes in every one of those accounts. I went ahead of myself here in these scriptures. But for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the beginning, as Peter writes. If we supply the virtues mentioned in the verse above this one, then God will supply the abundant entrance. There's virtues above 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. There's a lot of virtues there. And the message is, if we supply those virtues, God will supply the abundant entrance into His kingdom. We talked about overcoming here. I have some of these scriptures, but a holy life to live, a God to serve. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Away with the prevailing assumption that the new birth is my ticket to paradise. I can do whatever I want. And brothers and sisters, this runs deeper. I know in the evangelical church, it's the focus there is the new birth. At large, the gospel there, and we're not here to censure them or to talk about their gospel, but it's focused on the new birth, not on the end of overcoming. But 1 Peter 4:18 says, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly appear?" But let us go on here. I did want to share a few words. I'm sure it would be a blessing to just take a few minutes here and let you all share. But there's a lot of confusion around the new birth, and I don't have it all figured out, and I don't know it all. But you know, I've heard testimonies where people saw a light, and people have had a dream, and people have had all these things. But I just want to tell you, the new birth is not mystical. It's not some experience that we can't define. Peter makes it really clear. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. There's the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and Christ, and faith in Christ are all present at the new birth. And if they're not, then I would doubt the new birth. We've heard of dreams, we've heard of all kinds of things that people have, and they take it as the new birth. But it's not some mystical thing that anybody can just... What I'm saying is, be Bereans as people share their experience and make sure. We actually just had a young man that's been visiting for some time, and he's been in a church setting all his life, but he's struggled. And we were considering the thing of baptism, and I kept asking questions, and he's been struggling with this for a while. And as I asked questions, the way he answered them, he said, "Aiden, I don't know if I've ever experienced forgiveness or God." And I'm like, whoa. I thought from what he had said earlier, he was a Christian. So we got into the Bible. And you know, a couple hours later, I'm convinced with all my heart that man experienced a new birth for the first time in his life. I witnessed it. I watched the Word of God and the Spirit of God and faith of Christ. I could tell when it first came to him, when he first believed. And it's powerful. So don't take for granted, just because someone has an experience and has these things, I'm just begging of you, it's important enough to not just take their word for it. Dig in deeper and make sure that the Word of God's involved, the Spirit of God, and faith in Christ. And those, it's not something that can't be defined or that we don't know what it is. Do you follow what I'm saying? I can't explain it all. But I know that those three are always involved. Those three are involved. I did want to say that. So this is where I'm coming from, just to share some of what we've seen happen in the past. Someone is under some conviction, and so we get them to start confessing, and they confess, and then we lead them in a prayer, and then we have them read some scripture. And then we ask him, "Did you feel anything? Did anything change?" In our own way, we start telling him, "Well, you're born again now. Have you ever done that? Have you ever told someone, well, you're born again now? I would encourage us to not do that. God's Spirit will witness that to him if that's what happens, and you'll know. But I would, a couple things there, if I can remember them. Then we spend the next 5 years trying to get them to do all the things that we know they need to do if they're going to be a fruitful Christian. And those are the things that I've... I just want to keep going here. I'm sure time is... There needs to be repentance, conviction. It should be deeper than regret. It is the work of God to bring deep conviction into people's lives. Sometimes it is better to give God more time to work, as that's been one of my... I've made that mistake several times. There was a... Not too long after I was excommunicated, there was a young boy that showed up at my door at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said, Aiden, I have to meet with God. Aiden, I have to meet with God. And that was one instance where I struggled and struggled. He had alcohol in his breath, and I ended up leading him through to the Lord, but I think it was a bit early. But then not long later, I was really kind of gun-shy. We was at meetings, and I had preached, and there was a young boy that had responded. And he was... my guards were up because I didn't want to do something wrong, but this young boy was completely ready. It was amazing. He just was... God had him to a point where he was done. He was ready to surrender and give everything up. And so it is important that we're sensitive to degree as to what God is doing in their life and where they are. They should understand that they are lost. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It's really hard for someone to be saved that isn't lost. But it seems like we should ask questions, spend time listening, make sure we understand what God is doing. Is God's Spirit at work? What is God doing in their heart and life and their soul? That we should recognize the Spirit of God brooding over the soul. We have scriptures here about the God leading us to repentance. I think we'll keep going here. Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But look for a willingness to confess. Should be some transparency and honesty. God will not forgive a lying, deceitful heart. Until there's honesty, He will not grant faith where sin reigns. So when you feel that time is right and you have a private place, we encourage to find just a tablet and have them confess and write down all the things that are on their heart. And then I have a paper. I was thinking of bringing enough copies for everyone, but all of the passages in the Bible, Romans 1, 29, 31, Colossians 3, 5, Galatians 5, 19, 21, the works of the flesh, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, 2 Timothy, all those words, to break them down so they know what they are. And sometimes we work through all of those, but beware of involvement in the occult, Ouija board, some of those things that open them up to the occult. But after they've confessed is when I like to start laying a bit more of a foundation. I ask them if... I talk to them about if they're willing to go all the way with Christ. And we talk about what it may mean. It may mean dying rather than denying Christ. It means giving up everything. We try to lay the cost. Repentance and amendment of life. A willingness to go make restitution wherever is needed. Zacchaeus did that. John says, repentance and amendment of life. He says, bring forth therefore fruits that prove repentance. A willingness to make restitution wherever needed. Amendment of life. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. See what happened when he restored everything? Salvation came. But the thing that we've done is forgiveness. Is there anyone that you haven't forgiven? That can be a big one. You're willing to serve Christ with your whole heart. Count the cost. Is there anything you're not willing to give up? The Bible teaches us, Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, behold, and begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. We touch on authority. Church authority. The world and its fads. The appetites of the flesh. Smoking, drinking, foul language. Values, godliness, holiness. Willing to be accountable. Seeking for victory and just with anything that you think that God brings to your mind that would help them to go on, we have found it beneficial to have them make those commitments before you lead them on to Christ. And I want to be open here. If some of you brothers feel that's not right, I don't want to be strong with that, but I have found that a blessing for the souls that I've used that in. I think that of the souls that I have, I don't think there's a one of those souls floundering that I've got them to commit to these things before I led them to Christ. And it's after this, then I have them take the responsibility for their sin. I have them, I lead them in prayer. I ask them to confess these sins to Christ, and I ask them to ask Christ into their heart. And then we go to the Word of God, and we spend a lot of time in the Word of God. There's passages like, As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions. And I like to have them read these passages 5 or 10 times really slow. And we just go to different passages. And almost always you will see, as they're reading the Word of God, you'll see the moment that the Spirit of God meets them. When there's faith, you'll see that change. Most times they just begin to weep. And they just begin to cry in that way. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God that abideth forever. Yeah, laying a sure foundation. I don't have a lot more to say tonight to these things. I know there's different scriptures that I think I'm just... I skipped over, but that's the burden of my heart here. Yeah, I do want to spend some time saying that I'm thankful for what we've been taught, and I don't mean to censor anyone here tonight in any way with what I've said, and I'm realizing that I may have been a bit hard here, brothers. Some of you may do this a bit different, and I don't mean anything. I don't mean anything by it. I don't want to be offensive here in any way tonight. I do think that, like I said, it's been a blessing to us. I think I'll just leave that with the Lord and you all tonight. In that way, thank you. I definitely. The other thing we have souls in our church that need help, and so I don't want to leave a wrong impression here in any way. So we have our needs and struggles. So God bless you, brothers. Thank you for letting me share.